Well, it has happened before that Kevin or Father Scott have gone off and started to say something, and I have thought to myself, well, there goes half my sermon. But it has never happened before that three or four people have just, inspired by the Lord, given a word, and after three or four of them have finished, I've thought to myself, well, there goes half my sermon. But that's what happens on Pentecost, right? Amen. Somebody says, I have a vision. Someone speaks out a word. You have a couple people interpret the word, and there's my sermon. Okay. This should be quick. Probably not. It might have been quick, but then again, you've got me. So, it's Pentecost. Praise the Lord. Amen. This is the day that everything changed for the church. Prior to this, I already said, prior to this, you had a couple dozen scared little people hiding up in a room waiting for God knows what. And then afterwards, they're stumbling out and proclaiming the gospel in the streets. And this wasn't just like, hey, let's, go down onto Main Street and start talking to people. This was Pentecost. This was almost as big of a feast for the Jews as Passover. It was a pilgrim festival. People had come from all over the world to worship in the temple. And so whoever designed the lectionary, this was very, very kind, because the actual lesson from Acts of the Apostles lists about 17 different nations where the people had come from. And thankfully, Craig didn't have to read all those today, because they're places that don't exist anymore because no one could pronounce their names. So I think the only one that still exists is Arabia and Libya, and everybody else, they're all gone. So these people were all there. And we think, there's the streets of Jerusalem, everybody speaks Jewish. Well, no, that wasn't the case. There were dozens of different languages. I mean, it would be like a couple of guys like bursting out of the smoking lounge at like JFK International Airport and to start proclaiming the gospel, and all of these people from all over the world literally going, that's weird. These guys speak in German? No, they're speaking Spanish. That's weird. I am speaking German. No, they're speaking Spanish. And all of these people from all over the world hear them speaking in their native tongue. It was so bizarre. We've heard this story since we were this little, if we've been in church that long. And we just sort of gloss over how completely bizarre this was, how thoroughly miraculous it was. But what was even more miraculous is that this redneck hick fisherman from the sticks converted 3,000 people that day. 3,000 people. Some fisherman from Galilee who spoke with an accent starts proclaiming the gospel. And by the way, as he starts, they're like, you're just drunk. And he's like, no, men and brethren, these are not drunk as you assume. It's only, scripture says it's the third hour. That would have been about 9 o'clock. It's like, it's only 9 o'clock. Obviously, they didn't go to school in New Orleans, but never mind that. And he starts preaching this sermon, and 3,000 people are converted. 3,000 people. That's amazing. From this guy who, I mean, if you look at his track record, you want to talk about hit and miss. He doesn't have a whole lot of hits. But from then on, he is just like batting 1,000. Because it's not him, it's the Holy Spirit within him. And we heard today about our prayers rising up before the throne like incense and coming back down as embers. And that's a great visual, because that's that fire of God falling on us. Now, years ago, we had a party at my parents' house, And the next morning, they asked me to clean out the chimney. Okay? We had had a fire that night. They asked me to clean out. They're like, what are you talking about? Yeah. Oops. Fun fact. News to them. So I grabbed the vacuum cleaner, and I'm like vacuuming out all the soot. This may not be the best idea. They'd never asked me to do this before. They never asked me to do it again, by the way. Yeah, by the way, that wind rushes over those burnt out embers, and strangely, they come back to life. So I'm just vacuuming out all this stuff. And the next thing you know, I'm like, man, I smell smoke. I look behind me and there's smoke coming out of the vacuum cleaner. I'm like shutting everything down, pulling the plug, grabbing that thing, running outside with it. But you know what? That fire, it makes you move. Okay? Isn't that also what we heard today? The fire makes you move. That's not just a metaphor. It really does. You ever tried to hold your hand over a flame? You might try and do it for a little bit, but you can't do it very long. The fire makes you move. Jesus starts saying here in one of his last addresses to the disciples, this is at the Last Supper. He says, when the Helper comes, whom I shall send from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me, and you will bear witness. You're going to bear witness. He's going to bear witness, and you're also going to bear witness. He's going to remind you of all the things that I've told you, because your memory's really not that good, and you didn't really understand it the first time I told you about it. But he's going to remind you. And you're going to go out and you're going to bear witness. And because that's not really going to convince so many people, I'm going to give you other things as well. I'm going to give you the ability to heal people. I'm going to give you prophecies. I'm going to give you the ability to speak with tongues of angels. And then I'm going to give other people the ability to interpret that and say what you just said. I'm going to give you faith. Yeah, faith is one of those gifts of the Holy Spirit. Everybody's like, oh, you got to have tongues, you got to have tongues. No, you got to have faith. Faith is the gift of the Holy Spirit. Discernment of spirits. You can't tell somebody's got a demon to cast it out unless you first have discernment of spirits. So you can say, holy cow, that person has a demon. Then you cast it out. You don't just walk around looking at everybody that gives you the stink eye going, demon come out? Some people just have funny looks. But he gives us all of these gifts. And really, St. Paul is very, very specific. He says these gifts are for the building up of the church. Now, we've talked about this for weeks now in the Preparing for Pentecost Bible study series that we've been doing on Wednesday night. So some of this is kind of repetitive. But this is really, really important. We are a charismatic church. We are a Pentecostal church. We have to have it in our mind that it is not about me. Okay? It is not about me saying, I've got this ability. I am a healer. I am a prophet. That is not what it's about. Okay? It is about building up the church. It is about strengthening the church. We are a body. Okay? If one part of the body is really strong, the other part of the body is really weak, the body doesn't work real well. It's like skipping leg day, okay? It just ends up looking goofy. It's not a good thing. You have to work the whole body. If the body isn't built up and the body isn't strengthened, it doesn't matter if one person has like incredible gifts. if you've got one really strong little finger and everybody else is anemic, who cares? It's about all of us being strong together. Which means that at some point in time, God might give you a gift of healing. And at another point in time, he might give you a prophecy or a word. You might interpret a word at one point in time, and you might not have an interpretation another time. It's not like you're a word interpreter. Like, put it on your business card. You ever seen people who have prophet on their business card? I've seen people who do that. This is just not... This is about building up the church. And Paul is very, very specific. Paul is very clear. Look, tongues will fade. Words will cease. But the greatest gift of all, the greatest gift of the Spirit, is love. He says, if I speak in tongues of angels and have not love, I'm a clashing cymbal, a clanging gong. I've said this over and over and over again in the last 5 weeks, because this is one of the most important things he says. He dedicates a whole chapter to this idea in 1 Corinthians. As he's talking to the Corinthians about the gifts of the Spirit, he spends a whole chapter talking to them about love. John 13:35. In the section on the Last Supper, St. John says this. He says, wrong tab. He says, by this all will know you are my disciples, if you have love. If you have love for one another, all will know you are my disciples. Okay? Now, we are called to go and bear witness. And yes, healing people, that bears a tremendous witness. Speaking words of knowledge into their life, words of wisdom into their life, even speaking in tongues and having those tongues interpreted, that bears witness. Miracles bear witness. But love speaks even greater. Because those other gifts are gifts to build up the church. We want to bring people into the church. And what brings people into the church is our love. And that is, all joking aside, the most difficult thing to do. Because we have to deal with them on a daily basis. And just as we are, they are unlovable. Because we are unlovable. But God loves us anyway. This is how we know God's love for us. While we were yet sinners, he sent his son to die for us. It wasn't until later that we came to love him and honor him and appreciate him and say, how can I change my life so that I might follow him? And even after we say, I will make you Lord of my life, we still reject him by our sinfulness. We still go to him continuously and say, Lord, I am sorry, I did it again. I did this, I did that, I was wrong. Please forgive me. Those out there, they're not at that point where they say, I was wrong, I'm sorry, please forgive me. They just keep on doing it. Well, that's what the world does. They're sinners. They're going to sin. Why would we expect anything less of them? We do the same thing. We just know it's wrong and repent of it. So our challenge is to love them. And the gift that we need most to deal with them is the love of God. Now we need to be on our A game to do that. We need to be at the very top of our game. because, man, it is tough out there. You know, when your children do something wrong, it's easy to tell them they're doing something wrong. When it's going to harm them, you say, hey, don't touch that. That's hot, it'll burn you. Don't do that. Heck no, you can't go out dressed like that. Do you have any idea how you look? No. When our coworkers do something that is not all right, we can't do the same thing. We can't say, no, you can't go spend time with that woman. You're married. This is not all right. No, you can't go do these things. This is not right. Yes, it's what God says. God says this is bad. This will hurt you. More than what God says, God said it because it's bad for you. God wants us to be blessed. You can't just sit there and beat them over the head with the word of God. We have to deal with them in love. And that is such a challenge. That involves so much discernment, so much, I don't even know the right word for it. Because it involves so much being led by the Spirit. When to speak, when to hold your tongue. When to reach out, when to hold back. So much love. That's what we need the Spirit for. We need the Spirit to show these people that God is for them and not against them. That He wants them to have a blessed life, an abundant life, a holy life. That He wants it from us too. That He wants us to leave our sinfulness behind, because none of us are perfect. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory. All of us needs to be continuously leading a process of sanctification, leading ourselves closer and closer to God, so that we can lead others closer and closer to God. And that's what the Holy Spirit is for. That's what Pentecost is for. It's for the building up of the church, the edification. It's the same word as edifice. It's a building. We want a big, phenomenal, fantastic building. Think of those massive cathedrals in Europe. Massive stone structures, towers vaulting high. Get that by bringing people in and nurturing them and loving them. And that's the greatest gift that God gives by the Holy Spirit. And we need that love. We need Him to pour that love upon us so that we can be strengthened, so that we can strengthen others. That's how you change the world. That's how we change our own lives. And as our lives are changed, we can reach out to others and change them. And that's what Pentecost is. 3,000 in one day. 10 years later, there were hundreds of thousands that had become Christians. There were churches all over the world. Now there's 2 billion people that are Christians. Think what we can do in this city. Think what we can do in this world. This is not us. It's Christ within us who's given us the Holy Spirit and empowered us to do more than we can ask or imagine. Now, there are those of us who are sick. There are those of us who are bound up. There are those of us who have all sorts of things that are just holding us back from doing that. And we need to be set free from that. We need to be released from that. And so we're going to get free from that today. So we're going to call up the priests, and we're going to get some music going on in the background just to keep us praying if we're not coming up here. But we've got some people who are sick, and we're going to call them up. We're going to pray for them. We've got some people who are bound up in some things. We've got some strongholds in people's lives that we want to tear down those strongholds. Because the church is supposed to be a mighty fortress, a stronghold, and it's not going to have anything else being raised up against it. So anything else needs to be torn down. And fortunately, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but spiritual for the tearing down of strongholds. Because God has given us the Holy Spirit. He's given us the gift of healing. He's given us discernment of spirits. He's given us words and prophecies. Everything that we need to build up this body, he's given us. So we can be free, we can be empowered, and we can go forth. So if there's anything that's bound you up, tied you down, or is holding you back from ministering to the world around you, your school, your work, your neighbors, anybody, we want you to come up and get prayer. Amen? Amen.